And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today marks the beginning of a new year in the church. It's slightly different from the secular calendar. Early in her history, the church began to think of time in terms of redemption. More specifically, she began to order her time around the great events in the life of Jesus Christ. The two central feasts in our calendar, Christmas and Easter, mark his birth and his death and resurrection. The church also deemed it appropriate that a season of penitence should precede these great feasts. Hence, we have Advent as a prelude to Christmas, and we have Lent as a prelude to Easter. The word Advent is the Latin word for coming. During these 4 weeks, we prepare to commemorate the first coming of Jesus Christ at his birth, but we're also called to prepare for his second coming, at which time he will judge the living and the dead. You will note that the common idea here between these two is the concept of preparation. We need to prepare ourselves to celebrate Christ's birth, and we need to prepare ourselves to meet him when he comes again. Our collect for the day hints at these two events. In addressing God, it talks about the time of this mortal life in which his Son came to visit us in great humility. This is alluding, of course, to the incarnation of Christ, when the Son of God humbled himself and became a man. His humility was marked further by his birth in a lowly stable. And as we heard in our gospel lesson, even the entrance into the city of Jerusalem on the final Sunday of his life was marked by humility as he rode into the city on a lowly donkey. The first advent of Christ was marked by humility. But the collect also alludes to his second advent when it asserts that he is coming again in his glorious majesty to judge both the quick and the dead. This second advent is given to us in an image of St. John in the book of Revelation. Listen as he describes the vision of Christ's second coming. He says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." It's hard to imagine a more stark contrast. The first advent of Christ was marked by humility. The second advent of Christ will be marked by glory. As our colleague says, we live now in the time of this mortal life between these two advents. In just a few weeks, we will celebrate Christ's birth, as well we should, knowing that he came among us to save us from sin, from death, and from the devil. This wonderful event is worthy of great consideration and reflection on our part. But the church has also determined that we should spend some time contemplating the second coming of Christ. We're led to ask ourselves during Advent, am I ready to meet him when he comes again? I'll never forget a story that my pastor and mentor in the Baptist church told me many years ago. He and his wife were living in New Orleans at the time, attending the Baptist seminary there. His mother-in-law came to visit them, and as you might expect, they took her down to Bourbon Street to show her around. And while they were there, she said, "I sure hope Jesus doesn't return today to find me here." In her mind, she was going to have some explaining to do if Jesus showed up and found her on Bourbon Street. There is a nugget of truth in this quaint story. As Christians, we need to be mindful of where we go and what we do, knowing that our Lord could return at any time. Advent is to help us to prepare for this moment. For this reason, our collect, which we will repeat every day at morning and evening prayer up until Christmas Eve, hints at a third coming of Christ. Now in the time of this mortal life, we call upon God to give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and to put upon us the armor of light. Thanks be to God, during this time between the two advents of Christ, he has not left us alone in our preparation. In fact, Christ promises to come to us in grace. And he accomplishes this by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ who comes to help us to cast away the works of darkness and who will put upon us the armor of light. This phrase, of course, is drawn directly from our epistle lesson from St. Paul. He uses these very words about casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Then he spells out a bit what he's talking about when he says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." The children of God are called to walk in the light, not in the darkness. This is a picturesque way of saying that we're called to walk in holiness and righteousness. And this includes putting off those works of darkness, which he spells out here, and instead living in such a way that we will not be ashamed or embarrassed when Christ appears again in glory. As we enter this season of Advent today, let us ask God to pour his grace upon us by the power of his Spirit, so that we might prepare ourselves to meet his Son when he comes again in his glorious majesty. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."